Today we are going to discuss about basics of computer lesson in data entry operation secondary subject. As we know that we have to use computer for our day-to-day activities, for even nowadays everybody is using for attending their classes, online classes or trainings and all. So we should know what is computer and how we can divide the parts, what are the different parts which are which is used to do some specific tasks. So we'll be discussing about that, and we also will be discussing about the the hardware and software components, and we will discuss each one of them in detail. In the last, we will discuss about what is system software and application software and what are the computer languages and its classification. So let's begin our today's session. Computer is a device that transforms the data into meaningful information. Data can be anything. It can be marks, it can be the name of the student, it can be the roll number or age, or maybe your weight or height, etc. Of a particular students who is studying in a class. So it can be anything. Even if you're attending the classes, so it can be your details about how many classes you have attended, how many classes you have missed out. So this can be the data. So the computer can also be defined in terms of the functions it performs. Computer can accept the data, store the data, process the data as desired, and retrieve the stored data as and when required. And in the final, you can print the result in the desired format. So as we say that a computer will accept the data, so whatever you are giving from through your keyboard or mouse, that that data will be accepted by the computer. And some of the data, whatever, suppose I have used calculator, I have used some software, and I have, whatever the detail I am typing, I want to save it. So it used to store the data which I have given. And if I do some programming or something where I will be giving some input and I will be expecting that the computer has to process the code and it has to execute the result. So in that case, what it is doing, it is processing the data. And the result, what I am seeing it from the keyboard or the stored data which I want to retrieve it later, I can do that. So retrieving the stored data as in one record. So whenever I want, I can retrieve the stored data from the computer. In the last, I can print the result. I can take the printout, or if I want to display it on the screen, that also I can do. So we can say that the computer accept the data, store the data, process the data, and retrieve the stored data as and when required. In the last, it can print the result in the desired format. So next we will discuss about the computer organization. Computer basically performs the five major operations as we discussed: input and storing the data, and retrieving the result, displaying the result, controls all the operations inside the computer. So that we know. So first, in the input, it is the process of entering the data and program into computer system. So I used to use keyboard and I will type something. So that input will be accepted by my computer system. So I am using the input. Next is control unit. The process of input, output, processing and storage is performed under the supervision of the unit called control unit. If you have the material with you, you can refer the basics of computer lesson where we have given the block diagram of computer, where you can see that there is an input unit, then there is a separate section where the memory, control unit and arithmetic logic units are involved. Then in the last, we will be having the output unit. So we are discussing about the input. In that input, it is the process of entering the data and program into computer system. Control unit, the process of input, output, processing and storage is performed under the supervision of the unit called control unit. It decides when to start receiving the data, when to stop it, and where to store the data. So it takes care of the step-by-step processing of all the operation inside the computer. Next is memory unit. Memory unit, computer is used to store the data and instructions in the memory unit. Arithmetic and logical unit, the major operations performed by the ALU are addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, logic, and comparison. So these basic operations will be taken care by the arithmetic and logic unit. Next is the output unit. The output unit is the process of producing the result from the data for getting the useful information. So what it does, we are giving some input, and it processes that input by the help of control unit, memory unit, and arithmetic logical unit. Then it will depends upon what we are doing. It's like for storing, we will use memory unit. For for the processing, we will use control unit. For doing the operations, arithmetic and logical operations, we will be using ALU unit. Then once it is done, the output will be given by the output unit. The arithmetic logical unit and the control unit of the computer system are jointly known as the central processing unit, that is CPU. Next, we will discuss about the peripheral devices. The peripheral devices are connected to the computer externally. These devices are used for performing the specific functions. So we will discuss one by one. In that, we will discuss about the input devices, then output devices, then the other peripherals which are involved in the activities. So that we will be discussing. So in the input devices accept the data and instructions from the user. Keyboard is input device, because I am entering some keys, that keys are acceptable in my computer. So whatever I have typed, that is displaying on it on the screen. Next, I can use mouse. So using the mouse, I can select some of the icons. I can do some activities. Those activities will be converted and can be displayed. So I can also use light pen. I can use scanner. Scanner is also one of the input device. Then touch screen, microphone, then trackball. These are all comes under the input devices. A keyboard. Keyboard, it is the most common input device. Several kinds of keyboards are available, but they resemble each other with the minor variations. The keyboard in most common use is the QWERTY keyboard. That is QWERTY, QWERTY board. Generally, the standard keyboard has 104 keys. In these keyboards, the cursor control keys are duplicated to allow easier use of the numerical pad. Next input device is mouse. Mouse is an electromechanical handheld device. It is used as a pointer. It can perform the functions like selecting the menu commands, moving the icons, resizing the windows, starting programs, and choosing options. So the most common mouse uses an internal magnetically coated ball to detect the movement of the mouse across a flat surface. So usually we will use the desktop computer or laptop, where we will be using the flat surface of your table, or you can use the mouse pad for keeping your mouse. Optical or laser mouse is also used to detect the movement. All Windows-based applications today are designed to work with a mouse. A mouse, it is used to replace hard-to-remember key combination with easier point-and-click actions. However, it cannot substitute all keyboard actions, but it can be the alternative for commands-based operations. So here, when we use a mouse, we don't have to remember all the shortcut keys. So suppose the most common shortcut keys people generally use cut, copy, and paste, where we will use control X, control C, control V respectively for the operations like cut, copy, and paste. So here we might be remembering the shortcut keys, but there are a lot of shortcut keys we can use it for doing the activities. Suppose you're on you have opened multiple windows. To switch from one application to another application, you can use Alt key plus Tab key together. So if you know, it's fine. Otherwise, you can use your mouse and you can just open the other window. Suppose I have opened word processor, I have opened spreadsheet software, I have opened calculator and all. So I can simply use my mouse and I can click the other applications. But sometimes if you know the keys, or if your mouse is not working and you want to complete some of the work, then you can use the shortcut key, or if you are aware of the shortcut keys, then you can use it. But if once you are using mouse, you don't have to remember the hard keys, because remembering all the shortcut keys will be difficult for us. So if you know, you can use it. Otherwise, you can simply use the mouse for doing the activities. And all the lot of shortcut keys, we will not be having shortcut keys for all the activities, so we can use mouse. Next is light pen. It is an input device that utilizes a light sensitive detector to select the objects on a display screen. A light pen, it is similar to your mouse, except that with the light pen you can move the pointer and select the objects on the display screen by directly pointing to the objects with the pen. Optical scanner. These devices are used for automatic data collection. The devices of this category, that is optical scanner category, completely eliminate manual input of the data. And the barcode reader is actually just a special type of image scanner. An image scanner translates the printed image into an electronic format that can be stored in a computer's memory, and with the right kind of software you can alter the stored image. And you can also use the other example is optical character recognition. This is also another example of scanner. It is used by the banks to convert the scanned image of a typed or printed page into text that can be edited on the computer. Touchscreen. Touch panel displays and pads are now being offered as alternatives to keyboard. Here, the input can be given through the computer screen that accepts the input through monitor. Users touch the electronic buttons displayed on the screen, or they may use light pen. Microphone. It is an input device which takes voice as input. The voice communication is more error prone than information through keyboard. There are two types of microphone available here. Those are called desktop microphone, then handheld microphone. The next type of input device is trackball. Trackball, a pointing device, it is a mouse lying on its back. So to move the pointer, you rotate the ball with your thumb, your fingers, or the palm of your hand. There are usually 1, 2, 3 buttons next to the ball, which you use just like mouse buttons. The advantage of the trackballs over the mouse is that trackball is stationary, so it doesn't require much space to use it. In addition, you can place a trackball on any type of surface, including your lap. For both the reasons, trackballs are popular pointing devices for portable computers. Next, we are going to discuss that is output device. Output devices return the processed data, that is information, back to the user. Some of the commonly used output devices are monitor, printers, plotters, and speakers. Monitor. Out of all the output devices, monitor is perhaps the most important output device because people interact with this device most intensively than other devices. Computer information is displayed visually with a video adapter, card, and monitor. Information processed within the CPU that needs to be visually displayed, it is sent to the video adapter. The video adapter converts the information from the format it is used in the same manner as a television screen displays information sent to it by a cable service. So this is about the output device. Next, we are going to discuss about the output device, that is printer. After a document is created on the computer, it can be sent to the printer for a hard copy. Some printers offer special features such as colored and large page formats. Some of the most commonly used printers are laser printer, inkjet printer, dot matrix printer, and line printer. First, we will discuss about the laser printer. The laser printer produces high quality print that one normally finds in publishing. It is extremely fast and quiet, Moreover, the operation of a laser printer is easy with automatic paper loading and no smudging or messing up of ink ribbons. The fastest laser printer can print up to 200 pages per minute in monochrome and up to 100 pages per minute in color. Next, we are going to discuss about the inkjet printer. An inkjet printer, it creates an image directly on the paper by spraying the ink. So here, you know, if you see the inkjet printer, it will be, you know, the image it produces is not generally quite as sharp as the output of the laser printer. The quality of inkjet images is still very high. So in general, inkjet printer offers an excellent middle ground between the dot matrix and laser printer. Like laser printer, an inkjet printer is quiet and convenient, but not particularly fast. So typically, the inkjet printer, it is more expensive than a dot matrix printer, but costs only half as much as a laser printer. So next we are going to discuss about the dot matrix printer. The dot matrix printer was very popular at some years before. It is very versatile and inexpensive output device. In dot matrix printer, the print head physically hits the paper through the ribbon and produces the text by the combination of dots. Hence the name dot matrix printer. Speed is measured in characters per second. It is less expensive, it is louder, slower, and produces lower print quality. So these are the types of printers that are available. So, but depends upon your use, depends upon your need, we can choose. So if you want to prefer expensive printer, then you can prefer to use inkjet printer. If you want to use lower print quality and less expensive one, then you can use dot matrix, and you can also have laser printer. So that is the print quality is also very high and it is not very expensive comparing to the other printers. So you can use laser printer also. The next printer is line printer. It is generally used with large computer systems to produce the text based data processing reports. The line printers are high speed printers with speeds ranging anywhere from 100 to about 3800 lines per minute. So the print quality on the line printers was not high. The developments in technology are improving the print quality on line printers. So these are in the cost ranges of lakhs of rupees. So if you are if you want expensive printer which can print many pages in a quick time, then you can go for the line printer. The next output device we are going to discuss, that is plotter. A plotter, it is a special kind of output device that like a printer, it produces images on the paper but does so in a different way. Plotters are designed to produce large drawings or images. So if you see the construction plans for the buildings or the blueprints for the mechanical objects or something, then there the plotters are really used. The plotter can be connected to the port normally used by the printer. So an array of different color pens in a clip rack and a robotic arm is part of the plotter. The instructions that a plotter receives from the computer consist of a color and beginning and ending coordinates for a line. So with that information, the plotter picks up the appropriate pen through its arm, positions it at the beginning coordinates, drops the pen down to the surface of the paper and draws to the ending coordinates. So the plotters draw the curves by creating a sequence of very short straight lines. So it usually comes in two designs. Those are flatbed and drum. Flatbed plotters are of small size to be kept on a table with restriction of paper size. Drum plotters, these are of big size using rolls of papers of unlimited length. The next output device we are going to discuss, that is speakers. As you might have used, you might have seen the speakers are another type of output device which allow you to listen to the voice like music and conversation with the paper. So here, we are going to use the speaker as an output device. But the monitor is also considered as an output device. You can think that I'm entering some keys or I'm choosing something, so my I can see that in my key monitor, and so it's taking the inputs. It's an input device. No, it's monitor is on not considered as an input device, since it is displaying whatever you have keys you have pressed or whatever the actions you did, that you can see it on the monitor. So that monitor is has been considered as an output device. Next, we are going to discuss about the memory system in a computer. There are two kinds of computer memory, that is primary memory and secondary memory. Primary memory, it is an integral part of the computer system and it is accessible directly by the processing unit. Random access memory is an example of primary memory. As soon as the computer is switched off the contents, the primary memory contents will be lost. So the primary memory is much faster in speed than the secondary memory. Secondary memory, we can take the example of read-only memory, the CD-ROM, pen drive, that you can take as an example for the secondary memory. Next, we are going to discuss about software. As we are aware that computer cannot do anything on its own, it is the user who instructs the computer what to do, how to do, and when to do. So we have to we have to perform some tasks. So we need we have to pass those instructions to the computer. So in order to perform any task, you have to give a set of instructions in a particular sequence to the computer. That set of instructions are called programs. The software refers to the set of programs that makes the hardware perform a particular set of tasks in a particular order. The software can be classified mainly into the categories like system software and application software. So when we say system software, so what are the things will come under the system software? When you switch on the computer, the programs stored in the read-only memory are executed, which activates different units of your computer and makes it ready for you to work on it. The set of instructions can be called system software. System software are the set of programs responsible for running the computer, controlling the various operations of the computer systems, and management of the computer resources. So here, the operating system will comes under this category, that is system software. Operating system, as you might have seen in your system, that when you are switching on it, you will be able to see that if you are having Windows, then it will be showing that Windows is starting up. And whatever the version you are having, that will be coming. So it is a particular system software that provides the interface for a user to communicate with the computer. So I am the user. I want to communicate something to my computer. So that operating system only provides the particular interface. It manages the hardware devices. It manages and maintains the disk file systems and supports the application programs. As you might be knowing that there are a lot of operating systems. You might have heard Windows operating system, Linux operating system, Unix operating systems. So these are the some of the popular operating system. Although the operating system provides all the features the user need to use and maintain their system inevitably, they still do not meet everyone's expectations. This has led to another type of system software called utilities. These are the programs that bridge the gap between the functionality of an operating system and the needs of the user. The utility programs are a broad category of the software, such as compressed software, that is zip files, and uncompressed file software, unzip, antivirus software, split and join file software. So these are the softwares which will come under the utilities category. The next type of software we are going to speak, that is application software. Application software, it is a set of the programs which are written to perform specific tasks. For example, the student information system, which contains the details about the students, manages the student's roll number, name, parents' name, address, class, section, their result. So these are the details a particular an application is having. So it is specific to the some of the tasks which we are expecting. So it's totally about the particular students detail. If you want, then you can go and use that particular system. If I want library system, then I have to develop a software, separate application for that. In the student details, if I ask library details, I will not be able to get that, because it is having the information of students who are studying in a particular school or particular university. So here it is for that application has been returned to perform the task which is related to the students. The application software can be broadly classified into two types. Those are generalized packages and customized packages. Generalized packages, these are user-friendly softwares returned to cater to users' very general needs, such as preparing the documents, drawing the pictures, database to manage the data and information, preparing the presentations, and playing the games. So it's a group of programs that provide general-purpose tools to solve the specific problems. You might have heard some of the software name like word processing software. So here you can use Microsoft Word, or you can use OpenOffice.Word, Writer, or WordPerfect software. So you can use any one of them. For spreadsheet, if we talk, then we can use Lotus Smartsheets, MS Excel, OpenOffice.Word, Calc, Apple Numbers. If we take presentation, then we can use Presentation Graphics, MS PowerPoint, or OpenOffice.Word Impress. Next, we are going to discuss about customized packages. Customized packages are the applications that are customized to meet the specific requirements of the organization or the institution. For example, the student information details, payroll package, the inventory control will come under this category. Next, we are going to discuss about the computer languages. Languages are a means of communication. So when I'm communicating to you, so I'm using one language, using that particular language, I'm passing the information to you. So computer also needs some language. Through that, whatever we want to pass the information, or what we are expecting the computer has to do, those tasks we can give it to the computer. So the computer languages are broadly classified as low-level language and machine language. So low level language and high level language. In the low level language, there are other categories like machine language and assembly language. So the machine language, it is the language in the form of zeros and ones called binary numbers. So as we know that the binary numbers are zeros and ones, so the machine language, which will consist in the form of zeros and ones, and it understood directly by the computer. So it is machine dependent. It is difficult to learn and even more difficult to write the program. So you can just imagine that if you want to give an instruction to the computer by using only ones and zeros, so how you will you can just give 0000111 or something like that, or in any combination you can give. But what the computer will understand by that zeros and ones, only the computer can know. We will not be able to aware about what it is trying to do. So it's very difficult to learn and very more difficult to write the programs by using machine language. The next type of language is assembly language. This is the language where the machine codes comprising of zeros and ones are substituted by the symbolic codes called mnemonics to improve their understanding. So it is the first step to improve the programming structures. The assembly language programming is simpler and less time consuming than machine level programming. It is easier to locate and correct the errors in assembly language than in machine language programs. It is also machine dependent. Programmers must have the knowledge of the machine on which the program will run. The next level programming we are going to discuss, that is high level programming language. We know that low level language requires extensive knowledge of the hardware, since it is machine dependent. To overcome the limitation, the high-level language has been evolved, which uses the normal English, which is easy to understand the statements. Suppose I have written a statement like print or something. So it is clear that it is going to print. We are expecting that the computer will display something. If I write if this, then if else this or something. So it means like if this is true, then something is going to happen. So in this, the simple English words were used in this programming language, which is easy for us to understand. Then the computer, it will not be able to understand that whatever statement has been written. So first it will do, it will convert the high-level programming language into the machine understandable form. So we will be discussing about that also. So generally, there are different high-level programming languages are there. So you might have heard the programming language name called C, C++, Fortran, COBOL, BASIC, and all. So all these programming languages are considered as high-level programming language. So as we discussed, the high-level programming language is machine-independent, and assembly languages, though it is machine-dependent, yet mnemonics that are being used to represent the instructions are not directly understandable by the machine. So hence what we have to do, I am able to understand the instructions what I have given. But the computer also should understand so that it will do what I am expecting. So it will do the job. So hence to make the machine understand the instructions provided by both the languages, compiler and assembler are required to convert these instructions into machine language. The software that reads a program written in high-level language and translates it into an equivalent program in machine language is called as compiler. The program written by the programmer in high-level language is called the source program, and the program generated by the compiler after the translation is called the object program. So what it does, that whatever the program I have written by using the high level language, it may be C, C++, Java, or any programming language I have used. So what it will do, it will convert the high level programming language and it will convert into the source program. Whatever the program I have written, that is called a source program, that program will be converted into an object program. So that object program will be understood by the computer. So the software that reads a program written by the assembly language and translate it to an equivalent program in machine language, it is called an assembler. So there are two types of language we discussed, that is low level language and another is high level language. In the high level language, we saw that there are programs like C, C++, BASIC, COBOL, Fortran, and also these programming language or any other high level programming language I have used for writing some of the program, that program will be converted into an object. So that object, for converting that from high level programming language to machine language, we will be using the compiler. In the same way, in the low level language, instead of using the numbers ones and zeros, we have used the mnemonics. That mnemonics are used in the assembly language. So for converting the assembly language to machine language, that means that converting that instructions to the machine understandable form, we are using the assembler. So the software that reads a program written in assembly language and translate it to an equivalent program in machine language, it is called as an assembler. I hope you got an idea about what is assembler and compiler. So learners, we reached the end of the session. Till now we discussed about what is computer, then we discussed about what is an input device. In that we discussed about the list of input devices, then we discussed about the output devices. In that we covered about monitor, plotter, printer and speak. Then we discussed about the difference between the hardware and software. Then we discussed about the types of software. In the types of software, we discussed application software and system software. In the system software, the system software can be split into two categories, that is operating system and utilities. So we discussed what is an operating system and what are the things will come under the utilities category. Then in the system application software, we saw the generalized packages and customized packages. In the last, we discussed about the programming languages. In that, we discussed about computer languages, in that low level language and high level language. In the low level language, we saw two things, that is machine language and assembly language. Then in the high level language, we discussed about how the high level programming language can take the instructions. And in the end, we discussed about the compiler and assembler. The compiler is the one which converts the high level programming language into machine language. So, and the assembler is the one which converts the assembly language into machine language. So this is about the basics of computers. You might have known about these concepts, but this is about the theoretical part. So you can imagine that how the computer accepts your instructions, how it stores the instructions, and how it retrieves the instructions which is stored in it. Thank you.